Blog Talk Radio.
Get out of you, but down in Alabama, Mr. Chad and
telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm motion turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Yes, shining star for you to see what your life can truly be, and you at the right show on Wednesday nights. We're here with Reverend Morale P. Brown, a.k.a. Coach Morale, and this is the Life and Leadership Network show, and we're talking about maximizing your life and your ability to be a leader in your world today, and we're going to talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because what human being do not pursue life, happiness, and joy? And, you know, and liberty, we all want that. So here we are once again with the host with the most, Coach Morale. Let's give a nice hand and bring her on in. Come on, people, wake up.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ron. Without a doubt, it is about life. It's about liberty, and it's about the pursuit or the pursuit of happiness. And I think about the scripture, John 10:10, that God came that we may have life and to have it in its abundance, meaning beyond what we can even ask or think. And it's powerful. Amen. Because just life itself today, waking up, being able to just blow on our skin and feel the breath of life and just thanking God for one more day. But more importantly, it's the quality of life that we want to address tonight. And I want to say to my audience, good evening. I hope and I pray that you are having a great week thus far. And if you are having a challenging week, this is your time to now get some inspiration and get over the hump of this week so that you can make it through the next 2 days, Thursday, Friday, and to realize that this is a moment. Drop everything that you're doing. Call your neighbors, call your friends, and tell them to check out Maximize Your Life, which means to make the most of your life. A little tongue-tied here, but that's all right. We're going to get there. And so that the life strategist, leadership strategist, minister, speaker, trainer, certified life coach, Amazon's best-selling number one author will be hosting now. And we have our special guest. I'm so excited. Backed by popular demand. Yes. We have the Jones family. I am so excited. They will be coming on at 7:30. I am excited. I tell you, I just believe that just like bad news, depressing news about who lost their lives and how many people have lost their lives and how many people are in poverty and how many people are stricken with disease and all of that stuff, that we need to be excited about good news. And so the good news is, we have the Joneses back with the, I call it my three sons. it's just beautiful to be able to have an entire family changing the mindset, changing the trajectory of society. And that is Hadari Jones, Monivia Jones, Kai, Dahari, and Mazian. And so I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to have them. And I just want to talk to you briefly back to last week's topic. And I changed it just a little bit. How do you handle dilemmas? And I'm thinking about relationship. I'm thinking about also the dilemma of poverty systematic racism? How do you handle relationships within families? Do you wait for people to apologize? Do you wait for the city, the country, the government to apologize for slavery? And I'm talking about, and we're just going to be broad tonight, slavery of Indians, slavery of Protestants, slavery of Jews, slavery of African American, slavery of any kind, sex slave, trafficking, anything like that, or your own dad, your own parents, forcing you into slavery, forcing you into sex slave to prostitute or to sell drugs, or anything like that. Anything that impedes on your life, anything that impedes on your liberty, anything that stops and prevents your happiness. Do you wait for them to apologize? That's the question. As I talked about on last week, I just believe that it is important that we understand what it is to forgive. As I think of the prefix, for is the prefix, give is the suffix, for meaning give forgiveness before you get an apology, okay? That's the way I sum it up. There are certain things in life, and I just talked about it, that it seems like it can be almost impossible to forgive an oppressor, to forgive the slave master, to forgive perhaps your parents. Maybe there was an abuse in your family. Maybe there was alcoholism in your family. Maybe that, you know, your mom or your dad may have said to you, you will never amount to anything. Maybe your spouse walked out on you, left you with the children, took all the money out of the bank account. And guess what? I'm saying this because it has happened. I know that it's happened. It's a fact that it's happened, and it's still happening. How do you forgive? And then what is an apology? Basically, an apology is a person coming to you and asking that you forgive them for their wrongdoing, forgive them for perhaps a person who act like they was a friend, but they were actually a frenemy, and that they portrayed you, they talked behind your back, they backbite, they cussed you out, they, you know, begin to get close to you and told all your secrets. How can you forgive them? So in a few minutes, in about 30 minutes, we'll open up the line, but I just want to, you know, say to you all, 20 minutes, how do you bring yourself to forgive? And I'll say to you this, giving you some strategies, because I am not telling you or sharing anything with you that perhaps I've went through or going through. I'm not going to tell you that it's better to forgive and don't wait for the apology if I have not experienced it and that I'm not living it. I believe, and I was sharing this with my siblings, we were on a Zoom call yesterday, basically discussing the care of my mom, our mother. And I begin to share with them that it's important as members of families that we continue to walk in our authenticity, meaning being real, but within the realness of who we are, being able to have a particular goal that we want to reach, that we want to negotiate, talk about, hash out, even to the point that I may disagree, let's just say, with sibling A, or I may disagree with sibling B, but how do we still walk together in agreement of respect mutually for each other and their opinion, even if I disagree? And so relationships, to me, in your family, gives you the ability to have healthy and better relationships in the community. And if I just pause just for a second, think about your best friend. Think about your inner circle. Think about friends that is not as close to you, that you don't call every day or once a week, but you may hear from them every 6 months or when you need them or you want to reach out or you're having a celebration. Think about they, if you think about your friends, in a sense, mirror your siblings. that they are challenges in relationship with your siblings, that you realize that God has given you friends that can even be similar to the personality, to the temperament, to the characteristics, the persona, or the mask that siblings, even myself, tend to wear. And I just believe that an individual is a microcosm or image or picture of their family. So when they go into the workplace, or if they're an entrepreneur, a business person, a soulpreneur, a minister, whatever it may be, an imam or priest, that you carry your family with you into society. And if you have learned coping skills to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, to admit when you are wrong, and I heard the ouch, but to be able to say, you know what, I am so sorry, or I did not intend to hurt you. The reality is, intended or not, it's important that we learn to apologize, learn to stop justifying. And that's really what's wrong with society. They just believe if they rewrite history, which was his story or his lie, that it's going to go away. But we see that years and years and thousands of years, if you want to say 600 years of denial of the past. And that's why it's difficult for some people to really forgive, because of Japanese that were in what they call the camps, put in jail without recourse or legal recourse. Mexicans, the children and the parents are still separated at the borders. African Americans, of course, we know, years and years of slavery, taking away our history. But I also like to stay with family. The greatest oppression that a person can go through is with at the hands of a parent, the hands of a brother, a sister, the hands of someone that's supposed to love you and protect you, with his domestic violence. We're not talking about international violence, but we're talking about domestically, with the out in the home. But the good news tonight is, I want you to consider forgiving. I want you to consider forgiving. It is 7:18, and I want to hear from Dr. Ron. Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Ron, for all your input. What do you have to say? Should a person wait for forgiveness, or should they go ahead and forgive?
Well, you know, the Bible is so intricately designed for life questions, because a lot of times it's difficult for me as an individual person to advise others, because I've been in unforgettable moments in my life. You know, I said, I can only talk about, you know, my ability. One of the two hardest things for me as a Christian, a man of faith, or trying to be spiritually related, you know, the Bible talks about relationship with the Creator. And that made me understand that relationship, it takes responsibility. So one of the two things that for me was forgiveness and loving those, or expressing love to those who despitefully use you, those who you knew using you, and you're showing them love or whatever. And I thought that was a crazy. I'm like, God, how do you do this? You know, but it gave, you know what? And then a therapist told me one time, she said, listen, she said, the power of forgiveness is that it relieves you of that person. It gives you freedom. And so forgiveness gave me freedom. It gave me a close relationship with Christ, because now I was able to do the things in which he wanted me to do, my growth pattern, because God wants us to grow. Yeah. He doesn't want us to stay stagnant in one kind of behavior, one thing. He's the whole point of being a person of spiritualness, you know, religiosity is one thing, Christianity is one thing, religion is another thing, but to have a life, you know, because the Bible says, the Bible says, live a life pleasing unto God, and he shall draw others unto him. And that's our purpose, is to do our people. So I found liberty. I found freedom and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I found my mind was clear, you know, because when you harbor hatred, when you harbor these people that run around just hating people because of the color of their skin, because of their language, because they're fat, because they're skinny, because they're bald, you know, I really feel sorry for them. Because to harbor all of that energy, negative energy, it takes on a physiological sickness. So you get high blood pressure, you get diabetes, you get sugar, you get, you know, everything you can consume of that the body, because the body's physiological. The body works together. So the brain, the heart, the arms, the legs, like the Bible said, one thing can say, the Bible said the body consists of many, many, many parts, but one is not better than the other because they all work together.
Right.
So
exactly.
I found myself free from illnesses, free from stress and anxiety when I forgive people, when I don't even, what I do now is I don't get involved. I don't let my mind get consumed with negative behavior because I'm around it all the time. People say things to me, and, you know, and the first thing, if you say a little, as a minister, if I say boo, say, oh my God, you said that? You a minister. Why, you know, it's like, you know, I can't protect myself. So I just not let myself get into negative behavior, but I am a person like this. I will let you know what I'm feeling. Because another thing that's harmful is to harbor your feelings to yourself and not express them, because there's ways of expressing oneself without getting nasty, without cursing, which I know of course Morel don't like cursing. She made that clear to me, you know. Exactly. Now, I heard that people that use certain languages and do certain things live longer because they express themselves. But, you know.
I did hear that too, Dr. Ron. I did. But go ahead.
Yeah. But you know something? There is a way to do everything. It's what results are you trying to get? I told a gentleman in my business associate who always yells and screams, and I said, you know what? I said, did you know what? I said, do you know why you constantly yell and scream? Because you don't have a point. And you feel you don't have a point. You don't have your conversation is really not trying to resolve an issue. You're trying to create one. You know, your conversation is really not productive. It's unproductive. And that's why you yell and scream. I said, if you really had something good to say, you would say it in a clear, precise, calm manner, which we all, I know everybody heard this. They said, if you really want people to hear you, talk low. You know how your father used to say, now let me, you know how dad used to say, or mom used to say, didn't I tell you to stop that? Isn't that the scariest thing? When your mother talked low and she said, what? You know what I'm saying? When you're a little child and your mother say, didn't I tell you about that? That's the scariest thing to me. Then if she would say, oh, yeah, la, la, la. But when she said to me, didn't I tell you to stop that? And she looked at me straight. Oh, man, that's the most scariest thing in my life. Plus, my mother was a good beater. South Carolina people know how to beat. Holla, South Carolina. I'm telling all about y'all now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. My mother was very stern and very I told my friend.
My mother too.
I said, you know how your parents, your mother used to say, wait till your daddy get home? I said, I wish my mother would say that. But, you know, back to your point, people, forgiveness is powerful. You know, I know several people had their children taken away from them in a very criminal way, in a very demonic, evil way, and the people decided to say, I forgive. And a lot of people saying to me, oh, how can she forgive that person? He killed her son, you know. And I remember this lady said she thought he was in her apartment and she shot the man somewhere out there. And the brother, he said he wanted to hug her and give her forgiveness. And people thought he was just out of his head, out of his mind, because he did
that.
And you know, my thing, I said to people, listen, moments like that and reactions like that, it only comes from God.
Yeah,
a man can't make that up. I can't. You take away my child, would be the most hurting things in my, I never experienced that, but I believe, I know that's hurting because I've went to funerals, I've done funerals, officiated over funerals for babies and children and young adults, and, you know, I talked to their, and I consoled their parents and counseled their parents, and I know, I feel the pain, you know, and I know that's the worst thing one can experience, but
I'm sure,
you know, it's, when a person says, I forgive this person for killing my son or daughter, it's God-driven. I mean, it's not, it's nothing a person can artificially say, you know, I'm just going to forgive and make it a phony thing. It has to be a spiritual experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, so forgiveness, it comes with time. I'm not going to say everybody's going to just learn forgiveness by the conversation that we're having on this topic right now.
Like you're talking about those strategies. It's good. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. So we're talking. I'm saying that, you know, that's why we put on the whole armor of God before we leave the home, because you're preparing yourself for war. The Bible says, "Put on the armor." You know, you put on the armor of protection. You put on the armor of consideration. You put on the armor of meekness. You put on the armor of humbleness. You put on the armor of love. You put on the armor of forgiveness. You know, you, these things you have to pack up with yourself, because when you get out into this world, you experience so many different things, you know, and you're not sure how you really, because we all got that button. If you don't know it, people, everybody has that button. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sister? Yes. We're going to hear from the audience in a minute, too. Yes, about that button.
Yeah, that last button. If just do this thing one more time, if she just do this one more time, baby, you know,
true.
You know,
oh,
I mean, you women, I'll put your hands on your hip.
Boy, I tell you.
Now, what does she think? What does she think she's doing? Not today, baby. Not today. I was in the store. I was in a line one time, and this guy was in front of me, and I don't know what it was going on with him. And, you know, he kept fidgeting and saying things, and, you know, he looking at me, and he probably was a racist guy. I was in the South, and he was saying nigger this and nigger that. And I was not paying no attention, because my dad said if somebody says something and you respond to it, then maybe that is your name. So I mind my business, and he kept looking back at me. So I just said to him, brother, listen, this is not the place. This is not the day. This is not the time. And I ain't the person. So your best bet is to look forward and keep on trucking. And I don't know why I said that, but I said that, and I felt what I said. And so I'm saying, you know, you have to be prepared whatever situation you're in, because nobody knows how you're going to feel when a certain situation occurs. But forgiveness is powerful. I would suggest to people, pray and ask God, you know, to give you that power of forgiveness. And study on it and learn it and understand what forgiveness is all really about, because a lot of people got misconception about forgiveness, not as a strength, but as a weakness.
Yeah, wow, that's really good. It's so interesting because even in sharing, I don't have to say everything tonight. I can share the show. I could, what's the word I'm looking for? I can get exchange of ideas. Maybe someone is totally disagreeing. So just briefly, right before the Joneses get ready for their show, let's see if we can just open up the line. You know, this is like a two-part show, if that's okay.
Yeah. We have a plenty of text messages here as well. And she was filled up. I believe we fill up with the Joneses. But anyway.
It's already filled up. Okay.
There is Wilmer Lexington from Kentucky, and she says, what do you do when you forgive and the person repeats that, you know, repeats the crime or repeats the thing that you forgive? In other words, what she's saying, what do you do? She said crime, but I guess she's saying, what do you do when a person's a repeat offender? That's what she's saying.
Right, because they're there can be offenses, crimes, things like that. People can definitely push buttons. You know, thank you just for your question in that, and I laugh, not in a way of laughter, but it is so true. My God, it's so true. And I laugh because we all have someone that they apologize and then they repeat the same offense. They repeat the same crime. They repeat the same thing of keep pushing the button just to see how far they can go. And then they watch you blow your top. And then they look at you like, what's wrong with you? And then point the finger at you. What I say is, and just thinking about what my mother said, let me keep this short. Okay. So for example, if it's a family member that you live with, you cannot just run away, leave, right? It depends on how severe the offense, the crime is. Let's just say it's an offense. They're talking down to you. I would do two things. If they're name calling and talking down to you, you have a right. And I think of the crossing guard method. Put your hands up and says, listen, what you're saying is hurting me. It's offensive. Please stop doing this. If they call you a name, you have a right to say, I do not. So answer to that name and stop calling me name. That is not who I am. And you declare to them, and you're declaring also to the atmosphere what your name is and who you are. So if somebody happens to call you stupid, they call you slow, you tell them, listen, I am not slow. And then you tell them, I am not stupid, I am smart. And stop judging who I am. If there's a crime where someone is sexually abusing you, then you do a couple of things. You let them know what they're doing is wrong, even if they think it's okay or how it feels. And then let them know that you will call the authorities and you will get professionals in. And sometimes don't even say it, but just do it. And make sure you have a safe place to go. All right. What I'll do is I'll have, you know, just a few, if you want to call me later, tonight or tomorrow, I can give you some resources. But please, if there's domestic violence going on, then you have a right to start mapping out a plan and strategizing to leave. Don't say you're going to leave and you don't leave. And then make sure it's the exit plan and it's going to be sustainable, that family or friends is going to support you, or a shelter where they don't even know where you're going to go. So I hope that helps.
Okay, great. We have Arthur Williams from Beaufort, South Carolina. He said, how do you prepare yourself? Like, you know, he says that instances of anger comes on unexpectedly. People attack you unexpectedly. And how do you, you know, what do you do to prepare yourself to say, well, I'm going to forgive this person? Or he's asking, is forgiveness an instant thing where you forgive a person for the first time offender, or you've forgiven the person that offended you many years ago? You know, how do you prepare yourself to be a forgiver?
Right. That's a good question, Arthur. Especially Beaufort, South Carolina, one of my favorite places to be. Yes.
On the corner of Allendale.
See, exactly. You know, born in Charleston, raised in New York. But listen, in terms of, we call it sometime an attack. In this last, you know, again, transparent life, in this last, May, June, I've gone through several attacks, and I'm just like, where did this come from? Now, what I do is two things. I make a determination right then and there, because I'm so surprised that it came from this individual, and it appeared that it should have been something that was resolved. But then I say, are they attacking me because I did something wrong or I said something wrong, or are they going off because in their mind there is something going on? And this show is about life and leadership, maximizing, making the most of your life and knowing how to handle it. If you're going to be an effective leader, you must be able to learn strategies in relationships. So that rather you're going to be an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, an author, speaker, minister, imam, that you know how to speak and you know how to handle those attacks. So, for example, that's the first thing I think of. and if I go to react, it means you've really pushed a lot of buttons. But most of the time, I'm attempting to put myself in that person's shoe. And I will say to them, right, what is going on? Where did this come from? Do you really want to deal with this right now? To say to them, you're attacking me. You're catching me off guard. And then I go into the preparation of moving away from them. Rather, it's a day if you're able to, or a week to catch your breath and think about, wow, what just happened? And then now forgiving yourself if you reacted. And if you did not react, to say, how can we prevent this? And there are some attacks you cannot prevent. And it goes right back to the first question from Willie from Kentucky, is that this person is a repeat offender, continuing to doing the same offense over and over. So I would limit myself. And then I would also start forgiving them. Don't even wait for them to apologize to you, because an attack is harder, and it's a sneak attack, and it's like someone, a boxer, you know, hitting below the belt or in the stomach and that type of thing. So it can hit you harder, and it's more shocking and painful. So I would say start forgiving, start putting yourself in that person's shoe, and if you deem it's necessary, and I'm learning this, sometimes the person that is attacking may not even see what they did is wrong because they're dealing with their own mental issues. So I hope that helped you. Next person.
As well as, I just want you to know that Joneses are here as well. And I know you
yes,
have a certain
okay, schedule. Yes, okay, so I can answer one more, and then we'll keep the lines open, right?
Okay. Okay, Kathy Nixon from Dayton, Ohio. She says that in terms of a child offense or criminal act, she said most people carry these things with them because children tend to fear the attacker or the offender. And she's saying that a lot of times, even her situation, she had a situation of abuse in a family member whom she had respect for. And seeing that she had so much love and respect for that person, she didn't feel that she should tell her parents. She didn't want to cause any problems in the family as well. And she kept this with her she's 42 years old now. Mm. And this occurrence happened when she was 8. And she don't know what to do. She don't know how to address it. The person is older in age now. He's in his late 70s. And she doesn't know how should she address this person, you know, at this time, since it's been such a long time.
Yes. Well, Kathy, my heart goes out to you. I've been just inadvertently just looking at shows where they have been sexual abuse. And the most notable one, I believe, is a show with Ayanla Van Zandt, I hope I pronounced the name correctly, where the mother was sexually abused, the daughter was sexually abused by the same perpetrator, and the mother did not share it with her daughter. So my heart goes out with you. And I'm going to use, you know, my mother as an example, because she's one of the closest person. I've also had a good friend who was sexually abused by her stepdad. And then I've heard of other people that I do know personally, sexually abused from an uncle. And it has to be one of the most difficult hurt that they can be sexually, because they are actually exposing you sexually way before your time. And a lot of times the individual, perhaps yourself, had to overcome drug addiction, had to overcome promiscuity, those type of things. And if you, you know, was able to escape it mentally, emotionally, sometimes you'll feel like damaged goods. So I want to say to you, one, you are loved. One, you are whole. Now, in terms of forgiveness, I will say first, start without the individual. Start with yourself, asking God, the Holy Spirit, to wash away the memories and the pain, and the if there's unforgiveness so that you can forgive them. Then two, I would talk with your parent, someone who's trusted or a professional where you can actually go to them and let them know what they did hurt you and it damaged you mentally, emotionally, physically, holistically, perhaps even financially, and then see if they will apologize. But you would already and be in a place that you can, you've already forgiven them. So if they don't apologize or if they deny it, or even if they blame you, and sometimes rapists will say, oh, that mini skirt you had on, or you were flirting with me, or we were, you know, you we went out to dinner, and of course you know what I was going to do, those type of things. And so just in case they do not accept what has happened, you are already forgiven them, but you want to air it out, and you don't, you want them to acknowledge what they did. And prayerfully, they will change that behavior. However, don't necessarily look for them to change the behavior. God, that's going to be God's job to change them, to change their mindset, and to change their spirit. And the caveat to this conversation is I'm not a licensed counselor. I am a pastoral counselor, and I am a certified life coach. This is not counseling, it's coaching, it's in a sense advisement. You do your research, talk to a mental health specialist, a psychiatrist, and as I said last week, I am seeing a therapist. I should have done it a long time ago. However, I believe that life's happenings is warranting it. And I'm glad that I'm doing it. So please, that's what I would recommend to my listeners. And Kathy, that's what I recommend for you. So thank you so much. And I hope that that has helped. And audience, it's always great. We're going to continue now that we're dealing with the emotional health. Now we want to get into talking about the financial health.
I want to say very quickly to the audience as well, because I get a lot of, you know, the text messages come in heavy, and since I can't take them all, so I could not take everyone.
Right.
Please keep continuing to call in every week, and, you know, Coach Morale would have some time to discuss some of your matters. Also, on the website is her contact information, her email address,
her website address.
Our telephone number is there. So if you need to talk to her on a one-on-one, I would suggest the first maybe, you know, text her so she'll know what the subject matter is about. Or, you know, contact on that form and then, you know, proceed to let her contact you back as well. So I just want everybody to know that because a lot of people are trying to get in touch with you. So I just want them to know that, you know, the information is there.
Yes. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. As you can see, this show is not about marketing. It's about helping. And we tonight we don't really have the whole hour and a half, and that's fine because We want you to be whole. We want you to walk in health, healing, and wholeness. And again, 862-205-9077. And just stay tuned. Hold on. We have the Joneses. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Life,
let's
liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
Hello, hello, Dr. Ron and Mrs. Brown.
Hello,
how
are you?
Hello, doing well. Doing well. How are you guys this evening?
I'm doing fine. Oh, my goodness.
I'm doing well now that I got to speak with the Joneses.
See, oh, my God. The Joneses and their three sons, Kai, Dahari, and Mazian. My goodness.
Amen.
Woo,
great.
Making our lives better on Maximize Your Life show. What do you have for us tonight?
I don't know. I like that life, liberty, and the pursuit of just happiness. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I love history, and that's a historical document. And you know, for
yes,
so
it
long
is.
It hasn't really applied to us.
Right.
And so, we're just trying to get a piece of what our country's forefathers said everyone should have.
Yes, yes. You're talking right.
Amen, amen. Now I know nothing about Mr. Jones. He's professor, historian, Mr. Jones.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I just love them. And their anointing, their energy to empower wisdom and finance and investment. And this topic is growing the next generation. And I did a subtopic, wealth, right? Wealth generation, you know. Also, the mind becoming wealthy, the changing the mindset. So we're going to hear from them how they have been able, let's just say this, to bypass the phrase life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and now they're coming within the system that has been systemically and historically racist and anti-brown and black, that they are going to maximize it in spite of it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And it really all
a little
just,
louder.
Okay. It all really just it starts, really, you know, with you. You know, just investing in yourself. I was listening to you guys talking, you know, before we come on, and, you know, just going back to, you know, forgiveness. We talked about it last week, you know, just forgiving yourself, you know, for what you didn't know. But then also when it comes to, you know, forgiving others, you know, forgiveness is growth. And growth can be hard at times, but it's much harder to stay stuck somewhere where you're not happy, where you're not being fulfilled mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. You know, when it comes to growth, it's about, you know, just moving, you know, keep moving, move on, move up, you know, move smarter, you know, in the decisions that you're making. Because, you know, the time is now. Change happens right now. The past is done. There's nothing we can do about that. And, you know, the future is just based on intention. So we have right now, and that's all that we can do, you know, in the now. Do better.
That's powerful. I like that. Forgiving yourself. And you know, emotional is going to the financial. Like you said, forgive yourself. You didn't have the strategy. It wasn't ready. Well, listen, we have some dynamic people that's on that's going to tell you, get ready. As the PDJ says, right? Get ready, get ready.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's really really good to hear you talk about systemic racism and how it is like it just permeates throughout all of our systems, you know. But one of the things that I've learned just looking is that financial empowerment in a lot of cases leads to societal empowerment as well.
Wow.
Because You think about what gets things changed when it comes to our world. It's usually influence, and it's usually financial power. So look at the group Black Lives Matter this past year. They raised $90 million. $90 million in 2020. They also helped elect the first black female mayor in St. Louis, Tashara Jones.
Isn't that something?
That was a direct result of that money, that political weight that they carried, because they did have that financial impact. And so in so many different instances, financial empowerment definitely can lead to societal empowerment.
That's 100% correct, Mr. Jones. 100% correct. When you have economic, I still want to say with CBS, when you have that, when you have the economics, you actually have the history.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's time for us, like you said, to use that financial power, financial influence, financial savvy to make that impact politically, so that it can trickle down to families and communities, and that we can move ourselves, our own trajectory. It's not waiting on somebody
right.
else.
That's right. And so that's one of the things that I try to impart on my sons as well. You know, all three of them that are on here, is that there's different ways to have your voice heard. And one of those ways is through supporting causes through financial means that are supporting us. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we talk about all the time. You know, we stay up on current events. Current events affect so much of the world around us, including finances. That's, as a matter of fact, one of the things that we teach is that when you are invested in the stock market, to pay attention to what's going on in the world, because that absolutely influences how those markets move.
Wow,
and
that's
so
true.
You know, yeah, and just talking about that's one of the reasons that I think they understand the importance of that financial empowerment, because it opens so many other doors.
That's
right. And with
I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and it really just starts with one person, you know, one person, you know, willing to invest, you know, one person willing to start a business, or just one person, you know, following their own dream, you know, and passion to be able to, you know, just to begin to go on, down that path.
Yes.
It just starts with one person.
Yes, that's good, because, you know, I go with the first person now. Frankly, I got his name, Mazian.
Mazian.
Yes, that's right.
Mazian, I got it right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, you did.
Mazian, 15-year-old.
That's right.
Tell us about what venture you're working on. You had me do some work this week based on the conversation last week. I'm 57 years old. I'm changing my mindset. What are you working on? How do you make your money?
I recently started drop shipping. So that's like when, like you see, like when you buy things on Amazon, some of those things aren't always like shipped from Amazon. Most of those things are like stores that other people have made, and you can just purchase them off of Amazon. That's kind of what I have started up.
And so how do you make money?
Yeah.
For example, the item may cost what? $1, and then you sell it for what?
I would sell it for maybe around $10 and take that profit for myself.
Yes. Did y'all hear him, audience? Say it one more time, a little louder.
So I would purchase the item from the supplier for $1 and sell it on my website for $10 and take that profit for myself.
Right. So it looks like oh, don't we have a great engineer?
I got some used cars I want you to sell.
Oh man!
I paid $100,000. Can you give me $400?
Hey, just loan me a couple dollars.
Oh my goodness! That is, and you know what? That's the American way. You buy it low and you sell it high. You get
it
retail. Right. They'll say on the Shark Tank, right? It's like, okay, how much does it cost you to make it? And they'll say, okay, $1. Well, what are you selling it for? $10. Oh, okay, what's your profit? Oh, what do you make? What do you project for the entire year? This gentleman, 15 years old, is making it happen now. So he doesn't have to necessarily wait to make money once he graduates high school. And I want to bring the next person on. Oh, my God, this is exciting. So, audience, please listen. Please. And when I say listen, you know how you sit there and you listen to, well, I don't want to talk about any show because, you know, any a negative show, and you're like, well, she did this and she did that, and he slept with this one, and guess what? It's usually soap operas, but you're talking about it as if it's real. This gentleman here, Mazian, I mean, 15 years old. He's the youngest of the Joneses. He is making it happen. Drop shipping. Now, let's go to Dahari. I think Dahari is the middle.
Yes.
Dahari is, yeah.
Okay, they can just talk a little louder. Go ahead, Dahari. How are you making money? How are you helping to be able to say, hey, I'm getting financial power, and I can support nonprofits. I can help others, those type of things.
I have my own shoe retail business. I buy and resell new and used shoes for a profit.
Wow, that is great. That is great. You like dealing with shoes? Give me an example of a name here.
Jordan. The new hype that come out, Yeezy, stuff like that.
Yes. So what you're doing, Dahari, is you are looking at what is popular, what people like. And instead of what I used to do is say, well, why are we, and I don't know if I have my figures right because I'm looking at different resources. I think it was in, let's see if I got this. In 2020, our buying power, I think it was at one point we were up to like the trillion.
And yes, then, ma'am.
1.3 trillion.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes. What is it?
1.3 trillion.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. 1.3 trillion. So now instead of me saying, that is my goal to change our mindset, I believe we spend because we're trying to deal with the low self-esteem. I don't care what nobody say. Mm-hmm. I just believe that. I believe that we just spend and we say, look what I have. Look what I possess. Look where I've been, because we're trying to fulfill an emptiness. I'll say maybe not everybody, but 1.3 trillion. There was one resource that said 1.4 trillion in 2019. That's before 2020 hit. But here it is, Dahari is saying, okay, you want to buy Jordan? Guess what? I'm going to buy and sell new and used, and I'm going to sell to you. He is now,
absolutely,
changing it. He's just changing the game. So please, come on, audience, right. Let's get in the game. And now we have Kai. Woo!
Before you bring Kai, can I say one thing very quickly about those figures that you just gave, the 1.3 trillions of dollars? African-Americans don't realize that we drove this economy from the initial time that we were floating here on the Mayflower, or whatever they call it, and the time we came here as slaves. There was no economy of that. There was no economy of that huge amount in this place called United States of America. What we know now as the United States of America, when it first started, it was colonies. So they didn't have economy, and the economy was built around the slavery. Now, going forward, as people watch the Black Wall Street hearings and the congressional hearings, realize this. How can these people, in terms of the free slaves, turn an economy for themselves under conditions of Jim Crow laws and on all of the racist thing that they experienced, they were able to develop? And that was not only just Oklahoma City, but there was Black Wall Street all over America as well.
Right.
So we are people of this is our heritage. So how we got connected with it, I don't understand that. But Mr. and Mrs. Jones and the young Joneses, they are bringing that back to reality. That I never associated being Black with being poor, with being any of that. I always saw it as an opportunity to do better, because everybody starts from the bottom and they have to work way up to the top. So it's just a matter of struggle. And another thing about it too is, when you work for something and you have more respect for that thing, you keep it longer as well.
Yes, definitely.
You can continue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Ryan.
I just wanted to jump in really quickly, if you don't mind. When you talk about struggle, something that I found just on this journey here of just trying to educate people as far as investing goes, a lot of times, now, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, and I'm not speaking about, these people, that are having, a real struggle out here. But a lot of times when you go back to our spending power, people don't struggle with money. People struggle with habits.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's what it all boils down to. People struggle with habits.
Say
that again.
Wow. You want to break down that with the mindset?
Just one thing that I say it all the time. When it comes to our people, what's the number one thing you do when you celebrate a birthday or anniversary or a graduation? What do?
We going out to eat.
Rather than taking that money and trying to build something or create something for that person, whoever birthday it is or whoever graduated, you know, rather than just spending, rather than just only being the consumer. And if you want to be the consumer, that's fine, but you can be the consumer and you can also be an investor.
Wow, I like that. I like that. That's powerful. So you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yes, ma'am, you can. Would you say the pursuit of happiness and, and liberty and...
Oh, my God. Yes. You can have it. And I like that because even now with graduation, different things like that, you know, I'm just like, okay, can I make you something? I was making my family something. They looking at me like, okay, we know what we're getting this year. I switched it up a little bit, you know? I said, look, as I'm blessed, you'll be blessed. But the reality, like you said, going back to those are stages of Kwanzaa, you know, in terms of, you know, making something. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. That's important. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. Come on, Kai. Tell me how you making it happen. I think you're in college too, right?
No, ma'am. So I actually graduated already back in 2017.
Oh, look at you.
From A&T State University.
Oh, wow. That's where my nephew graduated from last year. Yes. What did you take, sir?
I actually majored in criminal justice.
Look at you. I did, too, when I was in New York. John Jay, criminal justice. Yes. Okay.
And, but what I just started a new venture, though. I just started renting my car out on an app called Turo. So basically, I'm profiting off of my car. So it's basically liabilities and bills turned to assets on wheels. So
I like that. One more time, just a little slower.
Get rid of the car.
So liabilities and bills turned to assets on wheels.
Wow, I need to have my marketing person. You better go ahead.
Amen. Let's get a little shout out for that.
I love it. Wow. I'm saying, like, I love it. I just said, I love the idea because I try to use reserve love for people as opposed to things, but I like it. I really like it.
Hey, listen, I'm going to give it a simple. What's so cool about that, Ms. Brown, is that Kai actually brought that idea to us.
Really?
So, yes, he brought that idea to us, and so he's kind of going out here on the trial run now. But this is a business that we're strongly considering investing in. And again, the way that we are even able to do this is because we have changed our focus from that consumerism to investing not in only ourselves but our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great that he even had that idea to come to us because we definitely see the value in it. And so maybe you'll see a bunch of Jones rental cars around here soon.
I know that's right. Wow. And you know what? I'm going to just help you with the language, and I love the idea. No, we will see the Joneses around here.
Amen.
Starting in Charlotte and then going to Atlanta,
that's
Georgia, and then going to New York. We see it. Wow.
There you go.
This is
a
family affair.
And I got some cars I want to throw in there, y'all. I got a couple of Audis and some Mercedes-Benz and some BMWs and a Rolls Royce. Yo, I think we can get some good money for that.
Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is brilliant.
Just think back to
what Dr. Ron said, you know, what you said as well, Ms. Brown, about how when it comes to slavery, you say that we powered the economy. In all honesty, we were the economy. You know, the biggest things during that time were sugar, cotton, and slaves. So,
Amen.
You know, all of that kind of goes hand in hand. So, you know,
really
we were the economy
really
and for so long, you know, and we teach that in our class as well. Know that history and to understand that history, because if you do know it and you understand where we have been, then you can also understand where we can go. The power that we can have as a collective, you know, when we put that collective mind to investing in ourselves.
Exactly, exactly.
You know something, Mr. Jones? You know something real quick? You know, Mr. Jones, I found out nobody believed that until this Black Wall Street or Oklahoma City, this congressional hearing that they have now. Until they had that, nobody. I got people calling me and running. Oh, you was right. You were right. And I'm saying to myself, I'm talking about people in my age group, and I'm saying to myself, you mean to tell me, you Negroes sat there all these years and y'all did not know? It's pitiful. You know what I'm saying? It's really pitiful.
Right.
And you're right. You know, and like you, if you don't know your history. If you really don't know your history, and it's so important to young kids are growing up not knowing the richness of the African-American history, if you don't know your history, you don't have any pride in yourself, and you can't go forward, because a lot of people have been blinded by the misunderstanding of what it meant to be American and Black in America.
That's right.
And I think now we got a clear idea, and now we can go forward.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, we definitely have to change our thoughts, you know, and by changing your thoughts, then you can change your behavior. And then from there, you know, you can change those habits and you can create new habits for yourself and for your family. And so
that
just going
so
back
true.
To the boys and the different streams that they are, you know, tapping into, this is something that we teach to them as well as, you know, in our course. We've talked about it before, just the seven streams of income. And so, you know, with just the three of them there, that's three different streams of income. From, you know, your capital gains to your rental income, and then also your resale profits, your profit income. So, you know, and just going back to Kai and renting the car out, you can rent out anything. You can have something just sitting in your house right now that you can rent out, and you can profit from it.
Yes.
Like he said, you turn a liability into an asset.
See, I love it.
And to the listeners, I know some of y'all got some cars that y'all done work hard for that's just sitting there. Put them cars to work for you. Put them cars to work for you. And make
that's
you
money. Good. That's good. That is good advice. You're right. So sitting in the garage, just getting dirty, summer, winter, fall, spring, just, you know, dust. And it runs. You have a house and you have several rooms, consider renting it out. And of course, you know, look at the legalities of that. You know, we're not just saying just run out and do it, but, you know, research. And I'm sure, Kai, you have to do your research, am I correct, on laws and the liabilities and all this other stuff, insurance. So we're not telling you just run out and do anything without knowing what you're doing, but consider it, whatever your hobby is or whatever you possess. Especially if it's becoming a headache and you can't make your payments.
There's definitely a way to get help doing that.
Yes. Wow.
And so a lot of times, you know, we think that our children aren't listening to us, but they're listening and they're watching and they're paying attention. And, you know, you get back what you put out. So, you know, just keep encouraging, you know, and things like that. And, you know, when they have passions and ideas, you know, it's good to nurture that sometimes because they are the future. And I just believe that this generation, you know, sees things a lot differently. differently than we did coming up.
It's true. Wow. Wow. Three funds and helping to shape their now and then teaching them about the future, but what they need to do now to have a brighter future. To go back to the phrase that they didn't have this in mind, the founding fathers, when they talked about life, when they talked about the right towards liberty and the pursuit, or I say to receive happiness. We weren't included. And happiness is prosperity, is thriving, is well-being. And that's what it meant in the 18th century. And it means so many different things now. People just say, I'm just not happy. Oh, he looked at me funny. I'm not happy. No. We're talking about being, you know, in a state of mind of liberty so that you can make good choices and realize that you don't have to stay bound in poverty because perhaps your parents was poor or anybody else was poor and they just didn't have it to pass down. No, it's up to you now. You know, Mondrian and Kai is telling you and Dahari is telling you, the Joneses are telling you. We're encouraging you, and I use the word telling. Yeah, we're telling you. We're telling you a good story, a reality. This is real reality. The more, I like to play on words.
Yeah,
more
you're
real,
right.
More real conversation.
Right.
Let's do it.
It is. It is. It's real conversation. And the thing about it is that, again, you know, going back to the mindset, you have to be willing to make that change. You have to be willing to look at yourself and say that I do want to understand my finances better. You would be amazed at how many people I talk to who are invested in their 401ks at their jobs. You know, employers encourage you to invest in your 401ks at your job. So why wouldn't you want to do that yourself? When it comes to investing, that's one of the most proven ways to build and grow generational wealth. I mean, we use it as our primary retirement fund. So why not learn how to do that yourself? Because you can. And you can avoid a lot of the fees and stuff that's associated with it by learning it to do yourself or learning to do it yourself. And again, that creates financial empowerment. And that is the difference between us and others. Mm-hmm. Others understand financial empowerment and how that can be used as a tool for cultural empowerment. And so that's something that we need to grasp that. And take it, and we talk to our children, and they understand it. You know, we do sit down, and Tulsa was really big in our house. We talked about it because that's something that my wife and I remember. We remember our grandparents taking pride in being able to provide for their families. I remember them investing in the things that they could invest in during those days, which were mostly like bonds and CDs, that type of thing. But now we can even build further upon that to where we can leave a legacy, a lasting legacy. And I'm so happy to have children that understand that, you know, that understand passing it down, pushing it back, you know. And so that's the thing that's been lacking with us when it comes to a culture, to a people. The way you do grow generational wealth, the very definition of that is leaving a legacy, leaving something for the ones that are behind you. And so that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I get some half of man.
That is great. And that is great. Yes.
Well, why didn't you address 2 years later?
And I really just love the way of how they are able to start building something in a passive way, like doing it passively, not having to work extremely hard to do it or to build it, and to be able to, you know, do it at their own leisure, right from their phone or from their computer. It's about just moving smarter, you know, being able to elevate yourself. But doing it smarter and not harder.
Right.
Again, it really just goes back to our habits. That's where a lot of it, and also that ties in with mindset. That is where it all, you know, begins and ends. You have to see it in your mind first before you can make it a reality. You have to have that thought first. Your brain is the strongest muscle that you got in your body. And, you know, for better or worse, you can will yourself sick or you can will yourself well, you know, and it starts there. It starts in the mind.
Wow.
And from there, anything is possible.
See, this is great. This is great. And what you're saying is that it's not a, you know, what is it, get rich, you know, quick scheme.
Right,
But you don't have to go from 7 in the morning all the way to 2 p.m. or 3 p.m.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And so that's a whole different mindset. And so what's so interesting is, you know, I thank God for the public school system. I'll just give you this quick testimony. We do have a lot of time, which is good. My whole mindset was based on, you know, I guess you just my upbringing. Graduate from high school, get you a job. And I did that. I got it. I went to college, got a degree, and then experienced like 3 different layoffs in my lifetime. And when the pandemic hit, although I was starting to grow my business and the foundation of the business, the pandemic thrust me into, okay, here I am. And in my mindset, while I was working 7 and 8 hours, I'm thinking, in my own business, I can put in 4 hours. And then as I began to put in, instead of 4, I was putting in 8 to 12 hours. But then I kept seeing, like, you know what? This is tough. Those people that you see, yes, in the hotel or in the bed and breakfast that they rented out and they're taking the photos, or they're in that car and they're standing behind this beautiful luxury car and then they're showing you all this money, or they're on the beach. And they're so, oh, I have time freedom. Well, you know what? With the type of business, like a coaching business or a speaking business or book publishing or writing, it takes time. It takes time. So what I've learned do now is change my mindset. I'm at this point where I'm taking the class with the Joneses, Make You Better Financial Group, in terms of learning to change my mindset to say, okay, I can do 2 hours of investing or looking at investment or learning about trading, and then I could take another 2 hours and market who I can serve. I don't have that mindset since I've met them. And now with the son, last week I was looking at drop shipping. I think it was YouTube. For about an hour. And so, listen, the whole thing is, when you hear new information, you want to assimilate it by studying it, researching it. Don't take our words for it. They're going to talk a little bit more about the investment class, which I am taking every Sunday for the last couple of weeks. I've not missed a class, and I don't plan to. You know, even when I'm doing something, I'm just making sure I'll call and say, okay, I'm at my mother's house at this time, or I'm out. But I'm on there, and I want you to take advantage. Please, if you're interested in joining their growing community of investors, or if you would like for your child to be a student to increase his or her financial independence for the future, they would love to hear from you today. Take a look at their website, H. Jones. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you. You know, what you're saying is absolutely true. You know, check us out at makeyoubetterfinancialgroup.com, or you can send us emails at invest@makeyoubetterfinancialgroup.com. But what you were saying is so, so true that we're not trying to tell you that this is something that you're going to do and all of a sudden you're going to be rich, you're going to be driving in nice cars, because that's not really what it's about. You know, that's not what it's about, not at all. What we want to do is help you get the tools that you need to be an informed financial investor to where you can gradually, you know, change your outcome, your financial outcome, and not only yours, but the outcome for your family over a period of time. And again, you know, to me, the main thing that money gives you is time. It gives you time. And to me, time can be a lot more important than money. You know, having the ability to be able to come and go as you please, to do what you want to do, to not have to worry about having them bills paid. You know, that's where we want to get you, because to me, that's a supreme level of comfort. Now, if you want to jump in deeper, and we do teach that as well, you know, once you go through our long-term investing class, learning the principles of how to become investor long-term, then we do actually teach options and trading strategies. Mm. So we also teach ways where you can generate a little more income, but you still have that foundation of those long-term investing principles. Because at the end of the day, a good trade is only going to be as good as the underlying stock that you're investing in. So we teach you how to recognize that, you know, how to see that. We teach you the different asset classes you can invest in. And then we sit down and have conversations. And we meet you where you are, because this is something that we had to learn as well. And, you know, and again, teaching our children, we wanted it to be as plain and clear as possible so anyone could understand it, regardless of where you are in your investment journey. Do you know how empowering it is for a person to be able to go into their job and actually know what's in their 401k? Know what type of fees they're being charged, you know, to be able to open their own brokerage account, to understand what goes in that brokerage account, to actually have a plan, financial plan going forward.
When they had no idea to begin with. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's right.
It really is. Because just like I said, you know, starting out, you first just have to invest in yourself. You know, we're talking finances, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you know, all that, you have to invest in yourself first. And Ms. Brown, you have absolutely been in every single class, have not missed a class, and we have enjoyed, you know, having you there. And, you know, again, it's just about those habits. You're now creating new habits for yourself, which can take you to new heights. New habits can take you to new heights. And so,
like,
you know,
that's
where we are. That's where we are. We can't stay, you know, stuck in the past. You know, we have to be able to move on and move up in life. And that's across the spectrum.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow. Wow. Audience, we're talking to you. We're encouraging you. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting is, and people are addressing it, and I'm really glad about it, that you have people that are in, I would say, the religious world, a Christian world, and they are selling this prosperity gospel. And really the way they define prosperity is you send me your money that perhaps you were going to make a car payment. Send me that, or send me half of that, or let's just say your car payment is $400, but you only have $200. They'll actually tell you, send me the $200. Why? Because you don't have the $400. But if you send me the $200, God's going to now, once you put it into my bank account, increase what I have, then you're going to get the $400. Now, the reality is, faith is what helps you to have faith in God, that God doesn't need your money for you to be blessed. And then he doesn't need you necessarily to feed your money into somebody else's ministry in terms of you being blessed. It takes faith as a grain of mustard seed so that you can believe that that $200 will be increased to $400. And the reason why I can say this, one, I am a minister. I am a born-again Christian. And you may have different people with different beliefs, but we're talking about finance, and we're talking about it may not come quickly, and for some people it will. But the reality is they're not your savior. Going right back to, they're not your masters. And not only that, if you were to die, they're not going to bury you. They don't even know who you are, even if they can call your name out. And they are not, here's another one, they're not going to want you to marry into their family because you have a different complexion. And you are being so withered into a poverty mindset and not willing to do the work, as Manuria said, to break the habit and to get into a whole new habit and a whole new mindset and to take your time to go to those new heights. No one can do this for you but you.
That's
and,
it.
You know, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of miracle. I know what it is to It seems like it'll be like 10 o'clock at night, almost 11:59 p.m., and we didn't have no food. And God will send someone to knock on that door. We didn't feed for that. We believed for it. My mother believed for it. So I'm saying to you, we got to do it differently. We got to do it differently.
That's absolutely right. You are so correct with that. And again, that's what it boils down to. It boils down to changing your attitude, changing your habits, as my wife said, and changing the way that you look at your money. Again, you know, we use money so much, we give it away, and the only thing that we get back is a receipt. So how about shifting that to you giving that money away, but you're getting back equity and ownership?
Yeah.
Because when you're investing, that's what you're doing. You're switching from a consumer to an owner. And, you know, going back to the Hari story about Jordans, you know, I tell this story all the time, that, you know, you can buy those shoes for $200 a piece. You can invest in the company and own a share of Nike for about $130. So think
about
that.
And I want you to repeat
you
that.
Have a pair.
And I want you to talk a little louder, Mr. Jones. Just let, you know, just be very firm. Hey, you can actually buy.
Well, and that's,
that's
the truth. And look, we are a consumer household as well. My kids have Apple phones. I love Jordan shoes. My wife picks at me about my Versace shades. But at the same time, we understand the value of ownership. Because, again, those shoes that you pay $200 for, well, you can pay $130 to own a share of the company. The iPhone that you pay $1,200 for to own a piece of the company is $125. Mm. And so you think about that. Apple, the most profitable company in the world. So every time somebody goes out and spends that $1,200, you're putting a couple dollars in my pocket as well. And as an owner, that equity is going to grow. That equity is going to grow. While, you know, new phones come online, old phones go away, shoes wear out. But a company, if it's a good company, is going to continue to grow. And as it grows, your ownership stake in it grows as well. It compounds.
Yeah.
And so you have to ask that question, what do you rather be? Do you rather just give your money away, or do you want to own something? Do you want to build something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the quickest ways to ownership is through investing.
Mm-hmm. And through our course, you know, we focus a lot, you know, not only on just investing, but just financial literacy, you know, overall as a whole. And so the definition for financial literacy is, you know, knowing how to save, spend, invest, grow, maintain your money wisely. And so the key word in that definition for me is the word wisely, you know, spending it wisely. And so being a responsible spender. My husband mentioned, you know, a lot of the, you know, things that we like and names and things like that, which is fine. But now just looking at it from a totally different mindset, I don't want to necessarily spend that money on those things like I once did, because now I'm thinking more of the opportunity cost. If I buy these $200 Jordans, then the opportunity cost is this ownership that I can have over here and get that money back, you know, in abundance, even more than that. So then I weigh it out. Do I want to buy the shoes, or do I want to, you know, gain more money from it? And, you know, that outweighs it a lot of times, because like you say, you know, the shoes are going to wear out. They're going to get dirty. You're going to throw them in the corner to go buy yet another pair. So, you know, you just look at it differently now. You know, again, creating those new habits. It all goes back to that.
Wow. That's good. This is great information, I'm telling you. Not because it's my radio station, but because you guys are so passionate. You guys are so passionate. You know, and look, I'm going to call the names. Hold on a second. I got to switch my screen here. Mr. Hadari Jones, Malivia Jones, Malia Jones, and Dahari Jones, and Kai, the Jones family. I'm telling you, this is good. No, seriously, this is good. I am going to really, I'm going to be sharing this out. You know, I'm part of the American Business Women Association. I just joined like a month ago. And, you know, a friend of mine, she just texted me. She said, I know you're on your show. And I, you know, I'm going to share it out to them as well, just so that we can really help change the trajectory. And as Dr. Ron says, you know what, the ability is now, the time is now, and the ability is now. And we have these dynamic teachers, instructors, great PowerPoint, no mumbo jumbo, research-based information. I'm telling you, I'm an educator, 20 years education, and I love history, and I'm not bored. I'm taking notes. You know, I can't keep up with the PowerPoint, but this very relaxed environment where they're talking and they're just sharing right from their couch. My God. And then guess what? You don't even have to go anywhere. You just click in. They send you the Zoom information. So definitely check out the website.
Because it's such important information. It's information that we should have had decades ago. And so, you know, we are super passionate about it. And, you know, really to be able to get the next generation, to be able to get teenagers and young adults started, you know, before they get out here and create these bad habits or get out here and, you know, start having more responsibility. Just setting that foundation for them to be able to have a growth mindset, to be able to continue the generational wealth building that we're laying down now.
Wow, that's great.
And
that's great.
And when it comes to children, you know, a lot of the times children process information a lot better than we do. As we tend to get older, we tend to get a little more set in our ways. Our vision starts to tunnel down a little bit, you know, and so sometimes it is harder to reach us as adults. But when it comes to children, children have those sponge-like minds, and so they can soak up all of that good information. And if it's something that they believe in and agree with, they're going to share it. You know, they're going to share it. They're going to tell. They're going to tell somebody else about it. They're going to put it on social media. And so, you know, you start with the kids, and the kids are going to let you know what type of product you have. And so, you know, the interest from our children. Oh, it is. It is, and the interest from our children is one of the things. It's powerful, and it spurred us. It spurred us on to saying we have a meaningful message that we feel like would be helpful to people. And we're not going to charge you a whole bunch of money to share it. You know, we just want you to understand. Yeah, and we want people to have these tools to understand, because at the end of the day, we practice what we preach. And so when it comes to investing, we are absolutely doing it. We are live investors as a family. Part of our conversation is how did your investments look today? You know, again, we talk about changing that conversation. You know, we have those types of conversations about money and how money can be useful and how you can make that money grow. And so that's one of the things that definitely children can teach you. And so one of the things I know my wife always says is that she wants to reach the children. That's who she wants to talk to. She wants to talk to the kids. Because and I understand that. I absolutely understand that.
Because even just going back, you know, to our boys and just, you know, going back to Kai and now him doing, you know, his rental business, I know there probably was a time where we would have been like, no, you can't rent out your car. Like, what do you mean? What are you going to do? You know, but it's just that generation is just looking at it from a totally different vantage point to where I guess how we come so attached to our stuff. That's my car, you know, like, I'm not going to let somebody else drive my car. But if you can just detach a little bit, you know, from, you know, some of the material things, those habits, getting away from that, then, you know, you can open yourself up to those new heights. And so, you know, I guess he's not attached to his vehicle. And you can put it up and take it down whenever you want to. So if he's not driving today, why not let it go and make me $200? But if I need my car tomorrow, then I can just take it down and I can drive my car.
True.
You know, so it's again, the mindset. It, everything goes back to that. I'm going to keep saying that.
I want you to. She does,
and I'm still learning that because I told Kai and I told my wife, I'm not renting my car out. My car is an extension of my home. So that's still a moment of growth for me.
Gosh.
I need to grow there. But what I did tell my son, what I told him is that we can purchase some other cars to rent out. But I don't want to rent out.
Hello.
So my wife is still, she's still working on me with that.
Right.
Mr. Jones, nobody knows how to drive that Audi A8. You got to take it easy. You're driving too fast. Don't touch it. You look like you got a little drink in you. Don't touch it. You're a little too emotional. Don't touch that car, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
And to touch on what y'all were saying earlier, how the youth soak up games, that's nothing but the truth. I feel like they're risk takers. You know, the youth, they're not going out and buying lottery tickets. You know, they're investing, they're just like you said. And speaking back to this rental car, I told one of my colleagues about it. He's already put his car up. As soon as I sent him a video about it, and he watched that video, he put that car up the next day.
Wow.
And he already got his first booking as well. So. This is just about, you know, taking that risk. Just taking that risk,
jumping
in that water.
Yourself.
You know?
That's cool.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah. Because, you know, for those, because you talked about the seven streams of income, and it's interesting because sometimes for somebody that wants to get into real estate, want to buy a house, want to buy land, and you don't have a certain amount, you maybe just have enough for your rent. But this is ways that you can think of creative ideas, and we've given you several on this I was gonna say this line, this call, but on this broadcast, this podcast, so that you can consider. And there's so many more areas that you can look into so that you can increase that income, so that perhaps if you're gonna pay for your child's, you know, education or a medical bill, or you wanna invest or anything like that, buy the house. Get you a new car or get you a used car, and or just to help somebody out, your favorite charitable group, you know, or ministry or something like that. But just doing it wisely. And what my tax person said to me, you know, Ms. Brown, I like the fact that you want to help people, but you got to save yourself. And I was like, you talking about buying a house for somebody else and open up a home for other people, you know, you want to go back into home ownership and get you a house first and then look to give somebody else a house. And I was like, you know what? You do have a point. And sometimes our passion comes in our passion and our dream to make an impact, but we got to impact our lives first and get that financial empowerment so that then we can empower somebody else. So thank you, you know, just so much. What I would like to do is to open up the line. You know, last week we didn't get a chance to because of, you know, weather out in somewhere west. But Dr. Ron, do we have someone?
Yeah, we have. I have a 704-713. I don't know if that's.
I'm not sure who that is. But
yeah.
That's 704-713.
Your mic is open.
Thank you.
704-713, your mic is open. You'd like to comment or ask a question to the Mr. and Mrs. Jones and the Joneses? Are you there? 704-713. Okay. Okay. 929-303. 929-303. Your mic is open.
Greetings and blessing. I admire the lady, Mr. Bowen, and the other people.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The investment portfolio, I'm Ian, and I'm a potential investor in the future, and I just want to get my strength a little more that I can better serve our people. But I'm a member of the Ethiopian World Federation, and I think that for empowerment to the people, the Federation would bring empowerment by showing that we have a tradition of developing our own in our own communities, and that's what we are using. We have membership, owner, sovereignty rights in the Federation that we can bring out to the people. So we have a lot of people that want to invest, but they want to get the right situation and the professional way that we invest in companies that people that look like us own. We just don't want to be making money and enriching the people and them who are going to use that money and keep us under submission. So we want to get to the people like ourselves. If all of us go put $1,000 and buy something and we honest to each other, everybody going to gain because they know they feel good because it's people that look like them. People that don't look like us going and investing in Jordan sneakers and all those other things is nice. But you don't have nothing to tell your children that you start up nothing, you did nothing. And we are the incentives that start up everything for everybody, and we don't get the money. We invest in other corporations. So we have to find a way to be invested in our corporation, our people. Like our Black Wall Street used to do, everybody go there. And if you need an insurance company, you have a Black insurance company. You need a real estate, you have a Black real estate. And so we have to learn to start building interior, not running every time we come, we can make a few dollars here and there, join up with other companies, and we get a good focus on it. But we're not really making the impact that we can show to our children that we're creating something from scratch. So this we are at a hang up in that we feel that with your expertise there, and we must have people like you in the Federation for Development, we are talking about the world. You're talking about your community. And if you have people in the world want to invest and want to put pennies together, we can have a penny stock investment, not just saying it, or a dollar stock investment. Now, it's only a dollar to join the Ethiopian World Federation now. But if 10 million people join, it's $10 million.
Right.
So we have a strong membership. So every
member, then
we can go out and get something that we can buy for pennies and the dollar. Because when I used to work, they used to give us pennies and the dollar. And we still made money. When you go home laughing, we laughing too. Because we make money too. But it wasn't nice, because you don't get us nowhere. After we stop making money, he rich, and we looking to make money. We don't have no economic development in our thinking power. We're doing exactly what the people is in power doing. See the difference of America and China? China empowered the people who have good ideas from the grassroots level. Only if you're big and mighty and make a good song, they're not tutoring you. They stop doing trades in the school. They can't learn carpentry, electricity, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys
yes.
that used to learn the trades, they are the people who can know to start business and do business, so they cut off all the training, the air condition, electrical, carpentry, plumbing. When I came to America first, all these things was in the school. No, none of these things are in the school. So everything
turns,
have to go and invest with them. So Ms. Brown and the gentleman that speak there, I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from what the ancestors tell me to say. Not because I'm educated, I went to big schools, because I refuse to go to London to school. to do now when
right.
I was not prep when I was a little boy. Because all the lies I see, they're so wicked, all they have to is money. They're trying to get money and kill anybody in the meantime.
And part of me, I think this is John that's talking. This is John, Mr. John?
No, this is Ian.
Ian, okay. I totally am in agreement with you. And I want Mr. Jones or even Mrs. Jones just to address how I believe for a couple of months you begin to definitely look at African-American business and you begin to patronize those businesses. That's one way. And then, you know, and then just to piggyback off even where we're starting, you're starting within your family and charity begins at home. Charity, love, mercy begins at home. And then it's
God
abroad and you are spreading it. So thank you so much.
Absolutely right.
God bless you, dear, when you start at home.
God bless you.
Yes.
Give me a call.
So I want to have,
I want to have
these good people advising me because I'm a future investor. Very close.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give me a call tomorrow. Give me a call tomorrow.
I build
small
high-rise buildings in any community that the government will approve it and put them up quick.
Okay,
and
only because we have a few
quick.
More callers
we
or people texting in.
Our population. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you.
Thank you.
So the gentleman is right, though. You know. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Ron.
No, I was just asking if y'all wanted to answer his question as well.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, really quickly, I will touch on that. Because we do absolutely believe in supporting our black businesses and to helping them build and to investing in those businesses. So we actually have a investment club as well as our financial literacy classes. And in the investment club, we definitely talk about supporting people who come there with ideas, with investment ideas, or the entrepreneurs that we have who speak for our speaker series in our investment club. And so we absolutely believe in that. And one of the things, though, that I do want to respond to what the gentleman was saying was also that in order to change the way these companies behave, we have to attain that power, and part of that power is through investing. You know, we take ownership stakes in these companies, then we become part owners where we have voting rights. And so if it's something that
True.
This company's not doing, then we can change their attitudes through our voices, through ownership, through equity. And so I absolutely believe what the gentleman was saying, and I do appreciate him coming on with that. That's real deep, and we talk about that a lot.
And I just wanted to jump in really quickly. I think it's super cool that, you know, we have someone, you know, from, you know, that far away actually on the call. I think that is really amazing. But I also wanted to touch on the fact of him talking about, you know, black-owned businesses. And as far as Wall Street is concerned, sadly, there's only like a handful of black companies, corporations that are on the stock market. Now, we definitely do support, you know, on a local level and things of that nature. But when it comes to, you know, that top percent of wealth, those companies on the stock market, they purposely, you know, kicked us out of that game centuries ago. When it comes to insurance companies that he mentioned, when it comes to your big banks and things of that nature, they purposely left us out of that. And I know now there are more, you know, black-owned banks that are coming on the scene, so that is really great to see. And hopefully, you know, they can start getting, you know, more public funding and things of that nature and possibly make it to the stock market as well, where we all can participate in that level of growth.
Excellent, excellent.
Wow, great, great. I just want to say very quickly, law professor Dorothy Brown wrote a book called The Whiteness of Wealth in America.
Mm.
And there are codes, there are tax codes since the beginning of time when blacks were able to get jobs and, you know, when we were emancipated, proclamated, whatever, and we were able to get into the market probably around somewhere around the late 1800s, that kept us mm-hmm. from succeeding. And these tax codes, mm-hmm. even today, you'll find that a married couple, African-American, and a married couple, white, have at least $35,000 to $40,000 differentiation in wealth growth per year.
True.
So there are things that, you know, that we have to be aware of. I do international financing. I deal with companies all over the world. And, you know, by the grace of God, I'm blessed to do that. And if I was to IPO my company, I'd probably be a Fortune 500 company because of my stance. Yeah. But I am so against, you know, not having control of economic wealth, African-American economic wealth. And I'm so about finding out how to get that under control and how to make that happen that I refuse mm-hmm. to join certain things at this point until, like Mr. Jones mm-hmm. said, there is some kind of equitable partnership. See, I don't mind you being the leader. I don't mind you having X amount of control, but at least give me something. Like James Brown said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing, open up the dough, and I get it myself.
That's right.
So, you know, equity and partnership. And being in business so long and doing finances across the world and dealing with finances mm-hmm. and money, I have learned the difference between you being a player and you being played. And I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
to say,
mm-hmm.
one thing I'm going to tell people that people don't know, there's a gentleman here in New York City running for mayor. His name is Mr. Ray McGuire. You can go look him up, Ray McGuire. He is the longest running international president of a major international finance major corporation. He's been running that company for 13 years. African Americans, there are two of them who are members of the one percenters. We have mm-hmm. grown, but we've grown out of little mom and pop shops and locally, and now we're internationally, we're international businesses. We're multi-billion dollar operations, but it did not come to the conclusion of economic stability for those, like the Bible says, at least the last, the left out, you know, who God said, if you so love me, go feed my sheep, which is a symbolism of helping those who can't, who need help, but it hasn't reached back to the community. And so once
right.
these major corporations, and I have mm-hmm. that radio program every Friday night, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, and it's really a group
yeah.
of brothers who are doing very well, and I'm trying to get them to understand the necessity for us to reinvest back into our communities. You know, all 50 states with a high population of black people who are under the poverty level. It's important for us
mm-hmm.
to open up businesses, and that's what I'm pushing for. I'm pushing for us to go into these communities, open up factories. I got a sister right now that made a gadget called the Protection Black Box, which is going to protect airplanes from crashing. It has a GPS system to direct the airplane and to go autopilot immediately. The Navy and the Army wanted that technology, and they wanted to take it from her, and she wanted to keep it because she wants to teach that technology to our young people in our black communities. There's a brother who has one of the dynamic, and y'all going to hear about him in the future, one of the more dynamic electric cars, the best one on the ground right now, but he needed financing, and by the grace of God, I found that for him, and he's going to develop training opportunities in the poor communities for our African-American children so that they can learn
That's
this
great.
Industry of electric cars. And so I'm working on, and we also work on, you know, developing those who are need help. And so I think that's the one of the other things we can look at in terms of our community, because we got a lot of people who are extremely successful internationally. Everybody, I'm so
right.
surprised. Every person I talk to on an international finance level is African-American. They're over in Europe, they're over in Africa, they're over in the Caribbean, they're all over the world, and they're doing fantastic things. And I'm trying to get their mindset to come back home and bring some of that knowledge back to the communities. I'm so sorry to take up a little time, but I just wanted to say
That's okay. Well, we appreciate that, Dr. Ron. We absolutely do appreciate that. And you're right. You're absolutely right. We do have to reinvest in our communities, and we should look at that as something, you know, that is almost a responsibility. because we are the ones who are going to be responsible for our own futures. And so I absolutely believe that, and I thank you for saying it as well. And I know that we don't have much time, but I do want to leave everyone with this. Just consider this, that black people have less than 3% of this country's wealth. So where do you think the other 97% is? Yeah, where do you think the other 97% is? And so, again, we can help bridge that disparity. And you can check us out at makeyoubetterfinancialgroup.com, and we can show you how to get yourself onto that route, that path, that journey, that road to financial independence and, again, financial empowerment.
Start creating new habits for yourself to take yourself to new heights.
Well, this
so
has
again,
really
you can...
been so empowering. Truth, it permeates usually the mind first, and then as you begin to take notes, study it, you begin to internalize it, and you make it yours. This has been your opportunity to start anew, forgetting about the past, forgetting about history, and realizing that there are certain doors, even though it's been meant to close and keep you out, that you can just take your foot, push back, first of all, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, socially, and vocationally, push that door open. And as you get that little crack, then you start changing your mindset, developing new habits so that you can maximize financially, so that you can have the economic power, so that you can support, finance, projects, investments, inventions, communities, stores, schools, whatever you need to do, your own radio station, your own educational platforms, that we can help change our community. And this is not really just heaping it to ourselves. It's saying we want to help. We want to make impact. So definitely take a look at their website. This has been the Jones family, Mr. and Mrs. Jones and their three sons. MakeYouBetterFinancialGroup.com. Please take a look. And thank you, Dr. Ron. Thank you, Neo Nation, Dr. Winborn, and all those who are working behind the scenes. Please give me a call at 862-205-9077 that we can continue this conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, I will assess what your needs are and how we can help you identify your needs to map out a plan where you are and where you want to go. And by faith, let me tell you something. These people I'm surrounding myself with, the Joneses and their three sons, come on, let's do this together so that we can maximize in life personally and professionally. And do have a great night. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come. People go. Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.